When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Royce Unchained, presented by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, investment consultant. And wow, a throwback to the 80s, man. Seven goals in the third period for the Wild. 10-7 win over one of the best teams in the league, Vancouver, last night.
I sent Judd a text because they scored two real quick ones. The Oilers could go from 2-1 to 4-1. I sent him a text saying, what I said, are they booing? Are they booing the lads? And you said, well, it's kids' day, so everybody's happy. But but the next thing, so I also, Such had been monitoring it, so I also texted him 4-1. But an hour later, he sends me back and says, it's 8-6. Wilder ahead. I mean, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. You have to really do something nasty to be put on 5-on-3 even once, much less four times.
But they were obvious calls, Pat.
Three of them were consecutive or something?
They were obvious. Like there was a puck, I think it was early in the third period, puck flipped over the glass from the defensive zone, a penalty without question.
Automatic,
Vancouver just played a stupid game, but it was the damnedest thing. So they scored, so the Wild was down 5-3 after two, okay? The Wild scored, I think it was a 5-on-3, 29 seconds into the third period to pull within one. At 1:23, so the math on that, they scored again to tie it. And at 1:44, they scored again to take the lead.
And that was, were they all 5-on-3s?
No. But all power play goals. Was crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable. What a thrill for the kids. They hadn't seen games before. They'll think this is the way hockey's played. Let's go out there and get goals.
Is this the first time we've ever had two hat tricks, same team, same game in Wild history? It has to be, right?
I don't think they've had two hat tricks before, but here's the incredible thing. There were three hat tricks in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miller had three.
J.T. Miller had one.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently the Canucks have been, not playing real well lately. They were mad and they had a back-to-back. So as you say, this Tocchet might just use this to scream at him, because I got to think he's old school coach. That's what I got to think he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Tocchet numbed the pain on the plane ride to Colorado with a few beverages. I think he had a few pops probably at the front of the plane.
So they're on a day of another road game now?
Yep.
But, how could they play that stupid? I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't keep committing penalties like that, for goodness sakes. I was actually motivated to look at the Vancouver website, the fan website, the Gopher Hole of Canuck.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
And half of them were blaming the refs, and the other half were saying, these guys are stupid and they're going, and we've had 54 years of failure in Canucks hockey, and these guys are going to be just like the rest of them. So they're turning on them. But what a nice treat, though. You go over there to see your normal 3-2 game, and it ends up 10-7, for goodness sakes.
17 goals, yeah. The last time, I checked it this morning, the last time a Minnesota National Hockey League team scored 10 goals in a game was the North Stars against the Sharks in 93.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Last year here. Celebrated.
Last year here. The top had been, the top for the Wild was seven games with eight goals. They had never scored 10 goals. They never scored nine goals in the
season. And half the Sharks were our guys.
I was going to say.
That's the team we
sons of a you know what.
With. So we had guys trying to prove that we kept the right half of the roster. Is that what they were trying to prove? Were the Sharks, were they expansion?
Yeah, they were off.
Was that their year?
I think they won like nine games in 71 regular season.
Really?
It was one of the worst expansion teams in modern sports.
I wonder if this is the first place team in the NHL to give up 10.
I bet a first place team in the 80. I bet a Smythe division team. You know what? I bet the Oilers gave up 10 while in first place, but back in the day when Grant Fuhr got basically torched in goal. But the thing too with Tocchet, because their top goaltender did not start, so he's going to start tonight. The thing Tocchet did, he left the poor goalie in for the entire
game. He left him in for the whole game.
Played the entire game of all 10.
It's like your starting pitcher. Sorry, dude. You got to go 7 no matter what. Yeah. Our bullpen shot.
Anyway. Crazy.
I think Pat, we got Pat on here.
Ignore a phone call. You got to come out and come back in. This happened yesterday, too, to Pat. I also saw yesterday, the Wild scored 6 goals in the span of 5 minutes and 45 seconds of game time. That's the most amount of goals scored by one team in the NHL in 25 years. So 6 goals and 5:45 of game time.
Wow. How many of the 10 did we had? There was at least one empty netter, right? So how many were actually charged to their backup goalie?
Oh, let me see. I got right here. 8.
He didn't. Oh, 8. Only 8. Okay.
But he only had 17 saves, right? 17 saves or something.
Yeah.
That's a good batting average for a baseball player. That's
for a baseball player. 2 into empty nets.
Yeah. So, wow. So,
is Anthony LaPanta's voice going to make it?
I don't know.
He's scored!
Which one of the homers was his partner yesterday?
Ryan Carter.
Oh, he got really excited, I'll bet you. He can get excited when they lose 10-2.
I have to admit, in the postgame presser with Coach John Hines, that about halfway through can this be a signature win and stuff, I did have to jump in and say, so what's the concern here? Because your goaltender didn't play well at all. And it's a 10-7 game. I said, are you really going to watch the film and enjoy this? I have to disagree with you from the coach.
What? Yeah, why are you trying to pour cold water on a 10-goal performance?
because the starting goaltender was awful.
They had to. Your team gets 10 goals, and you got to hook the starting goalie. That doesn't happen too often, right? Didn't they bring the flower in?
For the start of the third period. Gustafson was awful. And that's why I said, are you concerned at all? Your goalie didn't play well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice. It's nice to have a hockey game that's not predictable. That was that was pretty good. I always said the difference between hockey and basketball is they played a 3. Well, last night they didn't. They played 10 yesterday afternoon. And aren't you glad that we did Unchained early so you could get over there for the game?
Hell yeah! That's why. Yes.
Yes, you might have anticipated this coming. It was. It's fantastic.
I hope the same people complaining about All-Star games being non-competitive watch that Canucks Wild game.
Yes, yes. Vancouver was still playing the All-Star game. They only had 3 guys on the ice most of the time. So anyway, that was something.
Hey, what are we learning about the Twins down there the last few days, Pat? Give us an update.
They got rained out Sunday. So was it Sunday or one day was all day rain?
Sunday was
rain. They didn't do anything. I was over there this morning. It was, guys wandering around. Everything's fine. And they got, you know what they do now, though, that's really neat? We didn't exactly do this when Calvin was running. They give you the lineup for batting practice. So who's going to be pitched? It starts at the big field, only at the big field, obviously not the back ones, but at 108. Paddock will be pitching and these guys will be hitting and then somebody else will be pitching and these guys will be hitting.
They've had that for a few regimes. They post it on the brick wall inside the clubhouse usually first thing in the morning.
Now you just get up in the morning and 7 a.m. you got the who's gonna be hitting at 1 o'clock. It's pretty good. Then you get the other thing is the pitchers are at most times a week into spring training, they're still throwing 3/4 of speed, they're cranked up. They're ready to go. It's, It's this Paddock's a talkative fella. It's a good. It'd be nice if he turns out to be a good pitcher and doesn't get hurt. It would be because he'll fill up the notebook after a good performance. So that's good.
He's saying kind of 160 innings is his goal and the team's goal, but they're going to have to maybe find some ways to limit that throughout the year.
I saw that he basically said that they've already told him we're going to have to. Because they want, if they make the playoffs, they want him to be part of it, right? And
a phantom injured list potentially.
Yeah. Well, six. So look at a week when you got a game off and use a 6-man rotation or something for the week, and then all of a sudden he's only made one start. Or you can just so we don't go back to Chris Archer 3 1/3. Let's go. Followed by Dylan Bundy, who's even if he's pitching good, we're going to take him out after 5 innings, just so we don't go back there. But I got to think, with all the relievers they brought in, that Paddock is probably going to be a 5-and-fly guy for a while, don't you think? I bet he doesn't see the 6th inning for a while. So.
Yeah, especially early in the season. They'll keep him under 90. 90 pitches is probably going to be his max. But there's a couple you could probably, around the All-Star break, you could – you could skip a start before the break, give him 2-3 weeks, and then
you can skip him. You can pitch him on Tuesday and then put him at the back end of the All-Star, and that gives him a week. So I think they did that with somebody last year. But meanwhile, they're counting on Pablo to pitch about 2-10. So let's hope Pablo is the same Pablo we saw last year.
Pablo, we're going to need to start both games of this doubleheader today, guy, actually.
I'll tell you what. He walks in the clubhouse, so you say, there's a pitcher. he's just a big, tall, not chubby at all, just a man. And you look at him and say, you can see why they made the trade. When you see him walking in the room, you can see why they made the trade for Luis. So
fat guys can pitch too, though, Pat. Come on.
I know they
big
can.
Big fat guy comes in, it's great.
They can, Fatty. And Mickey Lolich, my all-time favorite pitcher. But pitched 312 innings or something one year, and then pitched started 3 times in the World Series. And what's required now, though, is not what Mickey, Mickey had a nice fly ball, pretty good fastball. And then now they got, 5-6 pitches. So Pablo is, I'm just saying, he's an impressive looking fellow. And when he throws the baseball, he's impressive looking, too.
So, I just Googled the best fat pitchers of all time. And
Rick Rushell
was a good list.
Loved Rick Rushell. Plus, you could
CC Sabathia, Rod Beck is on this list. Remember
Hoyt. Lamar Hoyt better be on there, isn't he?
I'm just looking at the Google images here. Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo, Heath Bell.
Yeah. Heath Bell? He used to sprint in, right, from the bullpen?
The Whiteys, was it the 83 Whiteys, the 84 Whiteys?
They won the division?
That they had all the big guys. They had the fattest 83. Team in history. And I wrote a column saying, call them the Fat Sox, and said that they might throw the World Series for a box of Cheetos, and that was when Greg Luzinski came looking for me in the dugout. Luckily, I was upstairs when he came. He came over to the dugout. He says, "Where's that Ruth guy? Where's that Ruth guy looking to see if?" Because there were some reporters down there, but I was not. In fact, for years my friends in the baseball writers around the country would say, "Where's that Ruth?" when they saw me. The word got out that Luzinski was going to kill me for doing that. And Luzinski, by their standards, was a big husky guy, but he wasn't fat. He was muscled. They had the chubby pitchers, and they just had a lot of tubby guys. I'd have to look at that roster, but they had some big boys.
So there is someone, the fifth search item down here is somebody did the work for the all-time all-fat guy baseball team around the diamond.
Nice.
Here, I'll fly through this. For first base, you know and love him, Kent Herbeck.
Oh, really? They put him well?
Early Kent Herbeck was fine, but later Herbie in his career.
Herbie used to work out all winter, get down to 230. drive down here, stop at every McDonald's and be 245 when he weighed in.
Powell, a massive oversight at first base. Yes.
Well, hold on. No, they've got multiple. Looks like they've got multiple. So the rest, there's first base DH, both of the fielders, Cecil and Prince Fielder.
Okay. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Miguel Cabrera as a corner guy.
He was not. Later in his career, you can put him on there, but when he was a kid, he was all rock, man.
Up the middle, we've got Ronnie Belliard and Juan Uribe on this
list. Juan's nice and short and fat. Yeah,
chunky.
I can't remember Belliard that well.
He was a little chunky up the middle. Third base, Bob Horner from the Braves back in the day.
He's a big muscular guy, but he was thick.
He's more of a
football player. Pablo, how could you miss
He's
Pablo,
back.
For God's sake.
He signed a minor league deal with the Giants.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Pablo, God, he's got to be the captain.
let me read through some more. Terry Pendleton. Miguel Tejada? He wasn't fat.
Miguel Tejada wasn't fat.
No. How can you miss Pablo, for God's sake? Yeah. He ate himself out of the league.
By the way, this is from 2010, so this might have been like kind of right around the time Pablo came in.
Oh, okay.
John Kruk, Dimitri Young, Tony Gwynn, Kirby Puckett, Babe Ruth.
well, you got to put the Babe on there.
Catcher Ernie Lombardi.
Oh, yeah, from the Reds.
Yeah. He was the first National League catcher to win a batting title. And they said the slowest man in the history of baseball. So not an infield hit.
There were some great fat catchers, though.
Hector Villanueva from the Cubs.
Yeah, that was a requirement. Mike Lavalier. Catcher, short.
Mike Lavalier. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Mike Lavalier. And then for pitchers, CC Sabathia, David Wells, Sidney Ponson, Fernando Venezuela, Sid Fernandez, Aurelio Lopez, Charlie Kerfield.
Yeah,
Rich Garces.
Big man. Charlie was big. Yeah.
Oh, Mike Fetters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was thick. That's a good one.
Bobby Jenks.
Bobby Jenks, didn't he save like 51?
He was a good closer.
And now there's, since that list was published, the guy that played for the Mets, I forget where he is now, Daniel Vogelbach.
He's a great fat guy. Okay.
Great fat guy.
What's the name? Hunter Boyd, right? Hunter Boyd with Twins. Remember, he the number one draft choice, and he ate himself.
Hudson Boyd. Right.
He and Vogelbach went to the same high school here in Fort Myers. He and Vogelbach, they must have had a hell of a cafeteria in that place. Vogelbach's unbelievable for modern, the old Schwarber could have made it when he was when he was a kid. Now he's like this rock and still strikes out 3 out of every 5 at bats, but the other two he hits home runs or gets a walk. So anyway, that's a good team. But it should be modernized to get if it doesn't have Pablo in it, it doesn't count, man.
Well, and there's more fat people in America today. I don't know if you guys follow any of these accounts on Twitter, like videos and history or whatever.
New York.
And there was a video of New York City in the early 1950s, and it's just a steady camera with people walking on the street. Zero fat people. It's like a 60-second video. Probably 200 people walk by in the frame. None of them are even chubby back in the 1950s.
Wow. Well, they didn't. They weren't making a lot of money, and they didn't. You know what? The great phenom of this age, it's always been sports and music, right? Has been the number... the two top things of entertainment. Now it's food. The network's got 12 food shows. We got the food contests with, who makes the best whatever. Food has become very important.
Craft cocktails. Yeah.
There weren't convenience stores too, right, Pat? Like in the 50s and 60s, you couldn't run down the street at 10 o'clock.
Get some sun chips.
No pizza. You know where you can trace that to? No pizza.
Yeah,
I'm so old. I'm older than pizza. We didn't have pizza until about 54, 55. So they thought, what is this thing? And is there anything in America that has more to do with fat than pizza.
Wait, this is a fun game. Let's try and figure out what foods is Pat older than. Tater tots were invented in 1953. God. Pat is older than tater tots.
Tater tots. I probably didn't taste my first one until five. They never made it to Fola, tater tots, for God's sakes. They never made it down there. Yeah, I'm older than tater. Oh, there's quite a bit of stuff I'm older than. But pizza, people don't believe it. I said, I'm older than pizza. We didn't have pizza.
Yeah.
Came in and I can't, you know what else? One of the great, when I was 13 years old, we took a trip out to Portland for one of my parents' niece's wedding, and we drove out and drove. And there was this new, unbelievable restaurant serving hamburgers for 15 cents. McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's is like, and people were just lined up. You can go get a hamburger for 15 cents and you don't have to wait. It was amazing. So, of course, back then, that's all they had. You know, it was a hamburger. They didn't
have no large fries. You couldn't get the
well, you had fries, too. Yeah,
supersize me. Couldn't supersize.
I think you could get a hamburger or a cheeseburger. That was it. It was like White Castle. So,
by the way, smoothies were invented in the 1930s. So smoothies are older than Pat.
Yeah, I can guarantee you I was 30 years old before I had my first smoothie, and it might have been my last one. If you're going to get a smoothie, get a malt. Malt's much better than a smoothie.
Love
them.
You don't strike me as a smoothie guy.
No, I'm not.
I would never think you're a smoothie guy.
As I said, bananas and stuff. Yeah, a banana malt. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. They're great. One of my favorites. So anyway. I can't report any breaking news down here yet. But the fellas are we're only 3 days away from the Gophers being here. The Gophers. Yep. I'm sure we have something prepared, pregame ceremony prepared at home plate for John Anderson, I would guess. Huh?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, he's a legend. Yeah. Yes. Let us know. We'll do a breaking emergency episode the minute you see Byron Buxton standing in center field in an actual game.
I saw him today walk in, but actual game is going to be something. His hair's a little different this year. I don't know what he's doing there.
He's growing it out?
Yeah, he's kind of growing it out. It looks pretty good.
Both you guys are.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a cut right before I came down here. I didn't want it blown. Honest to God, when it gets long now, I'm Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future.
1.21 gigawatts.
How many were there? How many Back to the Futures were there?
Three, for sure.
5,000.
Wow. And they would have made more, I'm sure, if not for the health issues of Michael J. Fox. That was prime for like three more episodes. We bring everything back, 20 years later.
Yeah. American Fiction, boys, go watch it. It's great.
Okay.
Yep.
American
on the list.
Okay.
All right, Pat. We'll talk to you later this week, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
There he is, Roycey, Unchained here on Score North.